Before we start the show this week, I just wanted to tell you about a webinar presentation I'm giving in conjunction with my friends at digital marketing agency Format. We'll be discussing how to build the business case to invest in updating your career site. We'll also be looking at how career sites are changing and talking through some great case studies from employers who are getting some impressive return on investment from their career sites. To find out more and to register, please go to www.format.com/BC. That's www.format.com/BC. Format is spelt with a number 4, then MAT.
There's been more of scientific discovery, more of technical advancement and material progress in your lifetime and mine than in all the ages of history.
Hi everyone, this is Matt Alder. Welcome to episode 79 of the Recruiting Future podcast. Over the last few years, there's been a proliferation in the number of talent acquisition tools and technologies which are available in the market. The pace of change shows no sign of slowing down, and it's increasingly difficult for talent acquisition leaders to know where they should be focusing their efforts. My guest this week is Lance Hahn, practice leader at the Star Conspiracy Intelligence Unit. The Star Conspiracy have recently published their 2017 Talent Acquisition Brandscape Report, a piece of research designed to help make sense of a confusing market. Keep listening to hear me and Lance discuss the report and generally geek out about talent acquisition technology. Hi, Lance, and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Glad to be here, Matt.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. For people who may not be familiar with you and your excellent work, could you sort of just introduce yourself and tell us who you work for and what you do?
Yeah, of course. So I'm Lance Hahn. I'm a practice leader and principal analyst for the Star Conspiracy. And so the Star Conspiracy is basically a marketing agency that serves B2B software vendors. We've got a really good practice sort of in the HCM category. So we follow that. We've got a lot of expertise in that particular area. So my background is in HR. I've spent my entire professional career involved in it in some way. So I started my career as an HR practitioner. I started off in recruiting. I moved into HR management roles and those sorts of things. And then I moved over to ERE Media, which is kind of a preeminent publisher of recruiting information and also has some great conferences, which I know you've been to a few of those. And I worked there for about 3 years before coming here in 2013. So I've been with the Star Conspiracy almost 4 years, and I think one of the things we're really excited about is just working in the human capital space and working especially in the talent acquisition side, which I know we're going to be talking about a lot about today.
So you guys have just released a report. Tell us about that. What's the report about and what's the background to it?
Yeah, of course. So, so basically the 2017 Talent Acquisition Brandscape Report is what we recently published. We released it February 8th. So what we try to do with this is, we interact with a lot of people in the market. So lots of times it's just great kind of conversations. I've got a long background in the space. I've been here for almost 15 years, so I know it fairly well. But what we're trying to do with this is really for us, it's kind of share our understanding of what's happening in the market. So we've done this across different categories. We did one on employee engagement. We did one on HCM systems, those traditional payroll and HRIS systems. So what we wanted to do with this one is really take a close look at talent acquisition and say, what's happening here? And then, of course, since our clients are almost exclusively vendors in this space, like how do they fit into this and what trends should they be paying attention to as they're planning out and looking at 2017, 2018 and beyond? What should they be paying attention to? And then where do they kind of stack up in the competition, and how do they sort of fit into this really nebulous category of companies, because you and your podcast listeners are not strangers to this really rapidly evolving, always changing aspect of talent acquisition. So, you know, trying to take a moment of time, understand sort of where things are going, is really where we do. So there's a couple different components to the brandscape as far as, you know, doing sort of a vendor overview of, you know, where vendors are kind of placed in competitive potential, competitive strength, how good their message is, how strong their brand is, because we know that that really gives people visibility into it. Give overview of those top vendors in the space, understand sort of what our impressions are of where they're at, and then, you know, give kind of our research on kind of market share, market size, all that good stuff. I will mention the fact that, you know, these are generally North America only numbers. So, you know, we're really looking at sort of that market. Love to expand these to more global, but since we do a lot of business in the States here, that's kind of where our focus is. But that's kind of, I mean, that's kind of the gist of the report and what we're super interested in sharing as part of that report.
I mean, that's really interesting. And I think, with the North American thing, you know, what I tend to see is a lot of talent attraction trends, particularly technology trends, kind of seem to start in North America anyway. So, I think it's of interest to everyone who's listening to the podcast, no matter where in the world they might be. You used an interesting word there, which was nebulous when you were describing the talent acquisition landscape. I've just been kind of super aware that in the last sort of 18 months to 2 years, there's been a lot of change around talent acquisition and how we define it and what's kind of happening. Before we sort of dive into some of the detail around the report, what's your take on talent acquisition and how it's been evolving recently?
Yeah, that's a big question. I mean, I think what organizations are really grappling with, I think from a broad recruiting spectrum, is I think there's really a two-headed monster here. Is that I think folks are starting to really, at least here in North America, struggle with sort of the scale changes of recruiting. So you may need to hire 200 people in a month, and then you might not need to hire that many people for the rest of the year. You know, you need to be able to scale up and down. So I think actually one of the things that's happening here in North America is that they're, you know, companies are looking for ways to sort of balance that out. So with a mixture of services, technology, they're really looking at trying to figure out how do we deal with sort of those up and down trends of recruiting. It's just part of the business. I think actually one of the things, you know, you say that I think technology follows from North America to a lot of these other markets. I think one of the things that we've kind of stolen from Europe and APAC and all those markets is you know, trying to be more intelligent about, you know, relying on staffing organizations, RPO agencies, on those sorts of things as ways to supplement and be smarter about, you know, what staffing choices you're making for your internal organization versus what you're going to be using external. I think when I look at sort of that, that's a big macro structure struggle. And then the other thing I see that's happening kind of on a macro basis is just, you know, we could get so much more information on candidates, assessments. There's some really great, as you know, my background, there's some great sourcing stuff out there, you know, from the folks that go to SourceCon and all those sourcing conferences. There's just some really great tools out there that, you know, don't have super broad market penetration at this point. So whenever we're looking at sort of, you know, how can you add more intelligence to the talent acquisition process, that's one of the things that we're really interested in. So you look at things like AI, you look at things like, you know, robots proactively churning through external candidates, internal candidates, you know, going through your HRIS and figuring out, okay, is there somebody inside the organization that can fill this really critical role for us? and having like very little human interaction or direction for those algorithms is really exciting. But I think there's also some natural trepidation as part of that. So I think, I mean, like when I look at sort of big macro trends, I think those are kind of the two biggest immediate ones that just stick out in my mind. And that kind of, for a lot of this report, kind of flow through a lot of the big themes.
I'll come back to AI and robots taking over the world in a second, but before we kind of go into sort of more detail about that, I'm supposing that one of the biggest challenges of doing a piece of research like this, and it's certainly a challenge that I've had when I've looked at this market, is actually categorizing the different segments of vendor, you know, and the different types of you know, products and services that are out there. How do you guys break down the talent acquisition market? What kind of segments are you or categories have you identified that you use in the report?
Yeah, that's a big question, isn't it? Because talent acquisition is huge, you know. So when we look at the talent acquisition market, we look at a, you know, globally, you're looking at over $500 billion market. When you take in the staffing at headhunter organizations, when you take in some of the like great vendor management solutions that are out there, freelance, you know, labor tools that are out there. So you that's a huge report. This is already a big enough report, so I think we got 15,000 words on this thing. If you print the thing out, it's like 65 pages long, so it's already long enough. So you know how we kind of categorized is we really wanted to look at sort of those companies that are really focusing in on what we think are the core areas of talent acquisition. So we kind of broke it up into five subcategories. So one is sort of candidate discovery. So sort of the ability to go out, find the people that you need to. So sort of if you're thinking of it from a marketing perspective, which I always do, of course, you're thinking of sort of that top of the funnel. You know, how do you get people to recognize you, see that you're out there, those sorts of things. Then kind of a very traditional candidate management perspective. So you're looking at ATSs, CRMs, those sorts of things where they're really managing the flow from sort of that funnel to, you know, kind of consideration and trying to manage that process within a lot of different types of organizations. Then you look at candidate intelligence, and that's really sort of the background screening, the assessments, all the things that you use to sort of bolster the decision-making process of recruiting. And then you got kind of two things that I think people were kind of surprised to see in the report. And one of those is RPO, which we're seeing a lot of usage, especially here in the United States, but in close quarters to their technology stack. So part of the big consideration aspect of RPO is what technology, what sort of innovative features and technology are you bringing to the table, and how can we integrate our own systems so that you're recruiting as well or better, hopefully, than our own team. You know, that's a big part of the consideration. And then another one that's just starting to emerge that we were super interested in looking at is sort of this idea of candidate connection. And so how do you, you know, there's been so much emphasis on the candidate experience and like, are we really putting our best foot forward whenever we talk to all these candidates? What I was really interested in with that particular area is what sort of things are we doing to make the holistic process better, both from a candidate's point of view, like where there's less pain to go through that application process, which there's a lot still, but also how can we help sort of incorporate those good decisions, a better matchmaking into that process. That's a really emergent category where we're seeing just a few different providers sort of kind of starting to make some noise in that category, but something we see a lot of potential in. And I have to be honest, full disclosure here, I'm part of the Candidate Experience Council, so it's something that is really in the front of my mind as I'm kind of looking at a lot of these new technologies. And you know, I mean, talent acquisition is a huge category of companies, over 1,000. I think is the number I've heard of different companies. We only cover about 100 plus in this report. So I mean, it's really, you know, we're really looking at those five subcategories as sort of a starting point for kind of our discussion and our understanding of talent acquisition.
Yeah, so this is absolutely fascinating. I think, you know, I could talk to you for probably several hours about all of those categories. But just with an eye on the clock, I'm just wondering, just in terms of highlights, what were the most innovative things that you found or that you're seeing that kind of surfaced as you were researching the report?
Yeah, for sure. So whenever I was looking at this kind of from an innovation standpoint, one of the things that I was just super like really interested in is just how much work has been done on sort of the predictive side of this. And so predictive can be both on sort of the candidate discovery side. So whenever you're going out and saying, okay, this person might be a good fit for our organization, we should reach out to this person. To predictive from, we've talked to this person, we've gotten a lot of information on this person, we may have put them through an assessment, let's figure out if this person's going to be a good fit. There's just been, over the last probably 12 to 18 months, there's been so much work on this, and there's still a lot of work to be done on this. So, you know, when we look at this, we look at folks like Restless Bandit, we look like at folks like Intello that have done just really, really interesting work on this part. And then, you know, I think part of that too is just, you know, how, I think probably the second one there that we're probably looking at from kind of an innovation standpoint is just, you know, how are people uncoupling themselves from LinkedIn? Because I won't neg LinkedIn for anything, but I think there's some real concerns in the market, like what's going to happen to that company as they get integrated into Microsoft. How open is that data going to be? I think there's a lot of big questions and challenges, especially in North America, at least, how much reliance and how much heavy reliance is done for is LinkedIn used for a lot of different hiring needs. I'm looking at those two things, and I think there's some interesting challenges there for sure. And there's a lot of innovation taking place to try to figure out how to handle those two separate issues. Those probably the two biggest ones that I've noticed, and I definitely want to keep an eye on the clock too. But I could talk about this forever. But those are two really good ones, I think, that we're kind of keeping an eye on.
So one of the sections of the report looks at you know, future trends, things that you guys have got your eye on. Can you, you know, we mentioned AI and robots and things like that. Can you sort of talk us through you know, the trends that you the future trends you identify in the report?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So I mean, I think one of the so a couple trends that I'll highlight here is sort of the ATS. And everybody loves to hate on the ATS, right? Because and for good reason too, because it's oftentimes like not a very good process. And really, when we look at the ATS, I think from a macro scale, if you look at just what it's doing, like it's not really advanced the way that we would hope, you know. So I think a lot of recruiters want to kind of get out of the old style of sort of, you know, this is just my digital version of the file cabinet I used to have, and I've just got to manage it the same way. There's got to be more innovation there. We're not seeing it. So right now, ATS is serving is sort of that. It's sort of the recruiting system of record at this point. So everything has to tie into it. Everything has to go through it eventually. But a lot of organizations are trying to figure out ways to work around it, and it doesn't work because a lot of those ATSs build in compliance checks, all of those important things that definitely need to be happening. But it's really challenging. So we're definitely seeing some like really interesting things from like Jazz HR, Smart Recruiters, Greenhouse, Lever. All those companies are kind of doing some like interesting things to try to figure out sort of what's the way forward, what's the next step, what's ATS 2.0. We haven't seen sort of like a clear vision for that. And I think the other one that I like to talk about is sort of the disappearing services and technology divide. And so I talked a little bit about you know, kind of the increasing role of RPOs in North America, staffing organizations, those sorts of things. But really, I think what recruiting leaders are looking at, or they're looking at outcomes. They're looking at saying, like, how do I hire the best people for my organization in the right time? You know, they're looking at it strategically. And so they're looking at the combination of tech. So people are less insistent, like it has to be a technology solution. It has to be a staffing organization that we're using. They're going to look at, they're going to say, you know what? getting a new ATS system is going to be like, it's going to be compared to using an RPO or using a staffing organization, or using a temporary hire organization to get these roles. Like, we're going to compare these all across the board. So the competitive landscape is getting more confusing. And then you're seeing companies like JobVite move into sort of, you know, more job distribution. They're going closer to candidate discovery, and they're to make candidate intelligence better. So you're sort of seeing this sort of, we call it kind of the ebb and flow of categorization, where you see companies really moving outside of that. You see Career Builder, you know, adding HCM capabilities. They're adding, you know, new candidate intelligence and assessment tools to their solution. So they're expanding beyond just kind of being known as job board. So you see a lot of those different changes. Those are kind of, we're kind of looking at those future trends. I mean, we got five big ones that we mentioned, but those are two ones that I see like just really impacting a lot of different organizations that we end up talking to.
So sort of final question, you know, final thoughts. You talked about, you know, this dizzying rate of change. We've both identified that there's been a huge, development and shift in the market in the last couple of years. Do you think that pace of change and that pace of development is going to continue? Is it going to get quicker? Or is there going to be sort of, a bit of consolidation around how the market works?
I mean, we obviously study a lot of different areas of the HCM landscape. And one of the interesting things about talent acquisition is that there's always money coming into talent acquisition. There's always budget to buy new things. There's always new solutions. There's always shiny objects to chase. There's definitely a point in time where some macroeconomic things can happen. So a global slowdown. Economic slowdown could definitely change the pace, but that would only, I think we're going to continue to see consolidation as sort of these categories sort of battle it out, as sort of, we kind of figure out, okay, is ATS really going to take the mantle and really be this hub of recruiting? And then you're going to say, like, you're going to treat it the same way as talent management, where are you going to do kind of a best of breed approach, where you're just going to be tapping in all of these different solutions? So I talked to one organization recently. They have almost three dozen different talent acquisition solutions tying into one another in a really like complicated spaghetti on the plate mess, So are you going to take that sort of approach, which I would not necessarily recommend three dozen talent acquisition solutions for any organization? Or are you going to take kind of a suite approach where you say, like, I'm going to buy iSIMS or JobVite or, SuccessFactors or Oracles, and we're going to deal with the technology that they've got. We're going to try our best to not put a bunch of things into this thing. I think we're going to see that sort of same battle figure itself out. But I think for the most part, we're going to continue to see new companies coming into this space. We're going to continue to see people sort of get confused about what fits into what category. What's the sort of value proposition for these new technologies? How could they make my life better? What kind of outcomes can these guys solve? And then, as those start to develop out, the big apex players, suites, like Workday is working on a recruiting platform. They continue to try to grow that base. SuccessFactors, Oracle, IBM, all of those big guys will continue to try to bring in those little solutions to sort of try to take that suite approach, while the JobVites, iSIMS of the world also try to take a really specialized approach and try to make the right sort of plugins to their platform to make it that ideal platform. So, I don't know if there's a too long didn't read on that, but we continue to see growth. I think it's going to be mostly trended to, if there's a global slowdown, if hiring slows down globally, that could certainly impact, I think, the pace of new companies. But we know even through the recession, there was new recruiting technologies coming out. There was a lot of companies that were founded in 2007, 2008, that are still around, still kicking, and still doing really well. So we know that it's possible, and we know that that growth will continue for sure in this segment.
Interesting times indeed. So I'm sure that people will want to read the report for themselves. Where can they find it?
Yeah, if you go to thestarconspiracy.com, and that's a star with two R's, we've got a link to the report there. You could also, if you got any questions, hit me up on Twitter at TheLance, and I'm always happy to answer questions. And that's probably the easiest way to get in touch with me. But those two places are where you can find information and get your questions answered if you have any.
Lance, thank you very much for talking to me.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
My thanks to Lance Hahn. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher, or via your podcasting app of choice. Just search for Recruiting Future. You can find all the past episodes at www.rfpodcast.com. On that site, you can also subscribe to the mailing list and find out more about working with me. Thanks very much for listening. I'll be back next week, and I hope you'll join me.
This is my show.
Do you love news about LinkedIn, Indeed, Google, and just about every other recruitment tech company out there?
Hell yeah. I'm Chad.
I'm Cheese.
We're the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
All the latest recruiting news and insights are on our show.
Dripping in snark and attitude.
Subscribe today wherever you listen to your podcasts.
We out.